How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live, where you're here for the next 2 hours talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, the TuneIn Radio app, the iHeartRadio app, the respective website, Sirius Satellite Radio app, Armed Forces Network. Am I forgetting anything? We'll get into it later on in the show. We've got Mike Sempervivi here on the line, as we do every week, and we got so much news to talk about today. So much news to get into, not the least of which is a big WWE return has been spoiled, believe it or not, by WWE. Batista is returning to the company for WrestleMania season. They announced that he was going to be appearing at the Thomas and Mack Center for a house show in Las Vegas in February, and that advertising has since been pulled because apparently the word was not supposed to get out yet about the big return of Batista. He's looking for one more run. Batista actually is in his 40s, I believe almost his mid-40s at this point. He's been doing a lot of acting. He had a dojo that he opened up for a while, and now he's looking to come back and have one more run. So it's not just going to be a WrestleMania season deal. I suppose it could be. Anything's possible, injuries, that sort of thing. But it looks like he's going to be here for a while. And I know that this summer he's got he's got several movies, actually, he's going to have to be promoting. And so he'll probably be gone during some of the summer months to do promotional work for those movies. But in the meantime, he is going to be around, and he is going to be wrestling at this year's WrestleMania. Who's he going to be facing? Well, that's something we could talk about here on this program. We're also going to be doing the best and worst of 2013, taking your phone calls and emails and more. It is going to be a fun show. So stick around, everybody. Back in just a moment, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. In the next segment, so about 10 minutes from now, we are going to start taking your phone calls on a number of different subjects. As always on this program, it is open lines. You can call in, talk anything you want, pro wrestling or mixed martial arts. We do have a topic for the day, if you'd like to join in, and that is the best and worst of 2013. What was the best match you saw, the best angle, the best storyline? And this is not just WWE, TNA. I mean, we're talking UFC, any of the independent promotions. If you've got a local independent or a favorite promotion you'd like to plug, you're welcome to do that. The best of 2013, as well as the worst. What was the worst pay-per-view you saw, the worst show you saw, the absolute dumbest angle? The best and worst of 2013. In 10 minutes, we're going to be opening up the phone lines, and you are welcome to call in. The number, 855-478-4478, toll-free, U.S. and Canada. That is 855-478-4478. You can also Skype us, the handle F4WOnline. And if you're needing any of this and you forget it, just head up to WrestlingObserver.com. All of this is up on the front page, the phone numbers and that sort of deal. Please do not call yet. Mike and I are going to be talking some news here first. And after the next commercial break, we will open up those phone calls. So that is the plan. Mike, what's going on here today?
Not a whole lot, Brian. Just getting ready for Christmas and obviously trying to look back on 2013. I know the collection of one of the members of the site went up on our webpage in the forum, where if you're a member, you can listen to it. It's the top moments of the year as far as audio goes. For the website, I was listening to that a little bit, and it brought back some memories of some things that had happened this year that I had kind of forgotten about. And I tell you, it was a very interesting year in mixed martial arts and professional wrestling, as it is every year. But it seems like so long ago now that it got off to such a bang with the Tokyo Dome show from New Japan on January 4th. That and WrestleMania being so early on and having so much stuff happen, it's interesting to look back, because it just feels like forever ago now.
Yeah, I want to give a big plug to, I believe Dewey is the name. And Dewey, I don't know how to pronounce these things, but he's put up a compilation, as you noticed. As you noted, the best and worst, actually really just the best of our audio. Some of it, if you listen to it, it really is the worst. But a 5-hour compilation. It is on the board right now if you've not checked it out. The top 50 moments for good or ill on our radio shows over the course of the past year, 5 hours long. So if you're a member, you can head over to our website, log on to the board, and check that out in the radio show section. It is something else. Now, before we start talking about the best and worst of 2013, Mike, as we noted at the top of the show, Big Dave Batiste is coming back. And that, of course, begs the question. We've got WrestleMania coming up. Who would you put Big Dave Batista in the ring with?
I guess it just depends on what he comes back as. You know, I mean, you could, because to be honest with you, and this is going to sound insane, but look, I would love to see Brian Danielson against Shawn Michaels, or Daniel Bryan against Shawn Michaels, and I think that's absolutely going to happen. But let's just say Shawn Michaels is going to say, no, I'm seriously not doing this, and I really do mean it. Can you imagine, like, you know, Batista working with Vince McMahon or working with Triple H, bringing back the hired gun because you goofballs don't know what you're doing and you don't know how to handle things, and he faces off against a Daniel Bryan who basically can work around Dave, who's going to be, you know, relatively rusty, one would assume, even though I'm sure he's working out at the Performance Center right now. You know, you could do something like that if he comes back.
Are you saying Batista is the hired gun of Vince McMahon? You're not saying Batista versus Vince McMahon.
No. I mean, you know, him as the hired gun for Vince McMahon, say against a Daniel Bryan, if Shawn Michaels is, you know, truly not going to wrestle, or him against a Punk or somebody who can work around him. You could do that if he comes back, you know, wearing the white hat and, you know, holding the banner for the locker room. The possibilities are I don't want to say they're endless, but they're interesting. You know, Randy Orton would probably be a good one to go with, especially if he's going to be around for a while, maybe not full time or anything like that as far as, you know, dates, but be more available than Brock Lesnar. You know, that's a possibility for the title. Or again, it's so early in the game right now, and there's so many moving parts because you don't know who The Undertaker is going to face. Is Shawn Michaels coming back? Who else can we get to come back for WrestleMania and for WrestleMania season? So, you know, it's really just all speculation right now. It's just one cool thing is Batista's coming back, and I know this probably may drive WWE nuts in that there's guys like Jericho and Batista and plenty of others that can go away now and don't necessarily need them. I'm sure that probably drives people in that company nuts, but in a way, if they're coming back as great professionals and they're treating it, you know, like they should, and I think they all will, because the WrestleMania payoff is so great, and the chances to always go back to WWE, you know, it's very enticing. You wouldn't want to screw something like that up. So as long as they're taking it seriously, you know, it may not be great for WWE's ego that these guys can come back and spike business and then go away again when they want to, but it does freshen things up when they're in situations like they have right now, which is not having a whole lot of stars, which is their fault. But when you can bring some of these guys back and bring them back for the big show, it gives it even more of a big show feeling. And, you know, WrestleMania, you want it to continue to grow every year, and they're already at 70,000 seat arenas and, you know, over a million pay-per-view buys. You know, you got to keep going strong, you know, making that the biggest show of the year. And you know, bringing back guys like Batista and whoever else is going to come back this year, the way to do it.
Is he a big enough star that that you could do Batista and Randy Orton for the main event? Or do you think that the idea of bringing back a guy from the past, even if it is Batista, bringing him back and he ends up in the main event of WrestleMania, I don't know really what that would do to the locker room, if people would be upset about that, but I mean, is he the kind of guy where you think your average person on the street hears, oh my God, Batista's back and he's going to be wrestling for the title in the main event at WrestleMania? Is that a big deal to an average person or no?
No, but that's just because, but it's a lot, it's big to the wrestling fan, which I think is, you know, again, you know, you figure, yeah, you're going to get all those people anyway. Well, I don't know last year if you really did or not, you know, because the number was not as impressive as I think a lot of people thought it was going to be, even though, you know, nobody's going to cry for them. They made a lot of money. But I think when people see Batista, you know, the average person looks at him and, you know, even though a lot of people don't like to admit this, it's like, oh, okay, who's that guy? Or, hey, I remember that guy. You know, I think that helps. You know, as far
but
as
WrestleMania,
the
WrestleMania is your big. I mean, it's the show where whether you're a wrestling fan that watches Raw every Monday or not. I mean, it's usually the show that you either buy or you go over to a friend's house to see. And so I see it as a, I think everybody who buys WrestleMania this year is going to be well aware of who Batista is. And I'm just wondering if there is a, bigger WWE World Heavyweight title match, which by the way, we got to talk about later. We have a new WWE World Heavyweight Champion. They did unify the titles at TLC. It's Randy Orton. I mean, did they, Is there a bigger non-Batista match for Randy Orton on that show?
The only one it would be Taker, but you know it wouldn't be Taker, so probably not unless you're going to bring back, you know, it wouldn't be, again, you could bring back a lot of names, but I think Batista Orton with the history they have and what's tied in and the video packages that you can put together, to me, that is the best one. Now, as far as him winning the title, like you were saying, you know, if he's going to be there in the second quarter of the year, and be there consistently, then yeah, I think you can go ahead and do that because you have, look, there's a lot of things that can main event WrestleMania, you know, because of the amount of star power that you have. I mean, if you think about it, the Undertaker's match, with all things being equal, should always go on last because it's almost impossible to top. And it's really, in a way, it's kind of the thing a lot of people really look to see every year when it comes to WrestleMania. So, again, there's too many moving parts at play right now to really decide. But if he's going to be there in the second quarter and say you still have the title on Orton and Batista's rolling like you probably think Batista can do, man, you go ahead and put the title on him. If he's not going to have to go away till, you know, August or September or October to promote movies or whatever it is he has to do, hey, why not? If he's going to be there and wants to work, you might as well go ahead and do it.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment. We'll be talking more about this, all of the news, and we'll start taking your phone calls after the break. So stand by that dial. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline, a USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are talking the best and worst of 2013, and it is time to open up the phone lines. They're available right now, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll free in the United States and Canada. You are welcome to Skype us as well, F4W Online. These are open lines. You can call about anything on your mind, pro wrestling or mixed martial arts. And obviously, if you've got some thoughts on the best and worst of 2013, we want to hear those as well. And Ari is here on the Skype line. Ari, what's up?
This is Ari from Sydney, Australia.
Ari, what's up?
My question is, in 05, 06, and 07, Shawn would do a move where he will be flung towards the turnbuckle and he will bend down on his back first, do a flip, and then land back on his feet. So I was wondering, what was match logic behind that? Because I thought that would be more hurtful towards his bad back. Could you shed some light on that?
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call. We've got a weird connection here, but what it was, the idea was that he, you know, he's thrown in so so hard into the turnbuckles that he cannot help but do a flip. And I used to do that move as well. And it's actually, it's a roll. You roll up the turnbuckles, so you're actually not taking a really hard impact on your lower back. So he's been doing that move forever. I mean, he was doing that move long before he ended up retiring the first time in 1998 for his back injury. I mean, he was doing that in the early 90s. Flair did that move. A lot of others did that move as well. And when you do it right, like I said, you roll up the turnbuckles as opposed to hitting this really hard impact on your lower back. So that's why he did it, despite the fact that he had a back injury. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim?
Okay.
You got beaten to the punch this week by Ari.
Yeah, I did. I just had to ask you one thing. Did you do the spin-a-rooney in Seattle?
Did I do the spin-a-rooney? I didn't.
I know Stephanie did. It made you two.
Everybody in the entire ring did, including Titus O'Neil, who did a good one.
Okay, now, number one, what do we got to do to get Lady Tapa to quit being so stiff in the ring?
Well, time. She's very green, and she doesn't have a lot of opportunities to work. I mean, TNA, I mean, they've got some house shows, but it's not like a WWE house show schedule. So right. If you're green and they call you up and you're not ready for prime time and you're not getting right. The chance to go on the road and work, I mean, you're only going to get so good so fast.
Exactly. All right, the best and the worst. Okay, the best would have to be, in my opinion, CM Punk and Paul Heyman.
The best duo.
Yes, storyline because of the great promos and everything. You never knew what was going to happen. It was always something, you know, different, and I really liked that storyline. Okay, I may be in the minority on the worst one, but this whole making Randy Orton the face of the WWE, you know, they took Bryan Danielson to the edge of it and would not, or Daniel Bryan, and they would not put the belt on him. That just sucks.
Well, yeah, so you're not a fan of Randy Orton. Let's get back to that here first.
No, I'm not a fan of Randy Orton at all. I'm like John Cena. He bores the hell out of me, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
See, Jim, you surprised me a little bit there because I was going to suggest one for you, which is one of the worst things of the year. It kind of happens every year. You know, cheerleader Melissa and Thea Trinidad should probably be making far more money than they're doing right now because they should be in WWE.
Exactly, exactly. But, you know, she had her chance one time. She had a match with Victoria, and we all know how that turned out about 20 years ago.
How did that turn out for those that are unaware?
Victoria beat her in about 5 minutes. She went as Melissa Anderson on Heat.
I see. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call and your additions to the best and worst of 2013 list. If you want to call in, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Any topic you'd like to discuss, Batista, potential opponents for WrestleMania, the best and worst of 2013. Who's going to win this weekend, Anderson Silva or Chris Weidman? Whatever's on your mind, give us a call, 855-478-4478. Mike, your thoughts on Randy Orton as the man chosen to be the supposed first ever WWE World Heavyweight Champion?
It's fine. I mean, as far as that's how the story, you know, should have gone, to be honest. With that said, you know, kind of tying it into the worst of 2013, it's not that Randy Orton is the champion right now, and it's not that he beat Daniel Bryan for it. It's how Daniel Bryan was treated in that whole exchange leading up, where they ended up dropping him in the dust instead of making him stronger. I mean, you know, Randy Orton coming out of all of that and going into this match with John Cena as the champion, you know, really is not a bad idea when you make the story a lot better than what they had made it. So it's kind of too bad because, you know, I'm not saying Randy Orton deserves better or anything like that, but he should be in a better position right now because everything with Daniel Bryan should have been blown off in a more appropriate fashion than it was. And really, what could you do to continue the storyline? I mean, your end goal is WrestleMania here. You got a big thing coming up with the Royal Rumble. You know, the antagonist to me has got to be the one with the belt. I don't see how John Cena, again, unless you were going to do something where you would make strange bedfellows between John Cena and Triple H and Stephanie as far as working together, and you had something like that and a story worked out like that, you know, not having that, to me, the only thing you could have done was have Orton be the champion.
All right, we got 8 million people trying to get in. So, Francis, you are on the line. What's going on?
All right. I want to talk about one of the best things I've just seen within the last week. Magnus being the first British world champion in 108 years for a mainstream American company.
What was your question again? One more time.
I'm saying saying one of the best things I've seen this year is Magnus, actually. In the UK, we've just seen Magnus win the world title today.
That's right. Magnus is the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. It's it's TNA, so it only goes so far. But if you had to guess, I mean, what are they doing with Magnus? I mean, I hate to give a spoiler, everybody, but Magnus and AJ Styles have a match. Magnus beats him, and so Magnus is the champion. I mean, do you think this is going to be a long term thing, or is this going to be like, you know, a month or two, and then AJ returns and beats him for the belt?
I would actually like to see a long term. I would actually like to see him push like they did when Bully Ray won the title and actually push him to the moon. For me, as a fan, we've never had... we've had a lot of British wrestlers that have wrestled for WWE and TNA as well. And it's been good that he's been given the opportunity to actually be a face of a company. And I think it's going to be good to see, especially when you see in the US fans see when Impact go over to UK and see like how enthusiastic we are as fans of seeing that. And I think it's going to be pretty good for wrestlers as a whole to actually see someone like that actually be the champion. We've had to wait over 108 years for something like this to happen for us. And I would actually like to see maybe like WWE actually push some British wrestlers, actually give them the world title as well.
You know, as far as like the British mag, I know they still have a lot of newsstand wrestling magazines. And in fact, I know he writes for Fighting Spirit, if I recall correctly. Is it a big deal that he won the title or?
Yeah,
is it?
It is. It is. It's for British fans, it's something that we've actually been waiting for a long time. It's like British Bulldog. We would like to see British Bulldog maybe win be a world champion. We would like to see like William Regal be a world champion. So this is actually quite a big deal for wrestling fans whole, actually to see a British world champion in an American organization.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. And I'm glad that that he ended up winning that title. I think that Magnus is a... I mean, he's got his good days and his bad days. Sometimes he looks a little bit green, but overall, I think he's doing a pretty good job. And I don't know if you could consider him like a star that TNA has created, but because I don't know how big a star anybody in TNA really is. I mean, AJ Styles is a free agent. I believe he's a free agent. He could be re-signing with TNA at any time. But, you know, WWE didn't bite. And so... it's hard to say what level of star anybody really is in TNA, but they're trying hard with Magnus, so more power to him. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
My name is Eli Newcomb.
Eli, what's going on? Are you there?
Nothing's going on.
He's got a very bad connection. Mike Sempervivi is here, however. Mike, what do you think of Magnus as champion?
I love it. You know, I really like Magnus a lot, you know, obviously because of the situation TNA's been in. And that's another big story about 2013 as well, too. You know, the TV tapings coming to an end and Hogan leaving there and Bischoff leaving and the whole nine yards that happened there. One of the bright spots they have had is Magnus. And I think if nothing else, they may not have built him into a great pro wrestling superstar or anything like that because of the situation that they're in. But they have been able to showcase him and he's been able to carry the load, I think, quite nicely as far as a character and as far as his wrestling ability. So, again, maybe they're showcasing him for WWE later on down the line or something like that. But I think he's been able to take the ball that he's been given and do pretty darn good job of it.
Please make sure if you call in, you've got a good connection. Phone lines are open, 855-478-4478. Best connection you can. And if you Skype us as well at F4W Online, please make sure you've got a good internet connection as well. Those phone lines are open, 855-478-4478. As noted, AJ Styles is still allegedly a free agent. There are certainly those who believe that he has secretly re-signed with TNA. Those very close to AJ are stating that that is not the case. But he could be there, and he's expected to be there. And it's a very interesting situation that he has not been picked up by WWE. We can talk about this more after the break. And again, if you want to give us a call, 855-478-4478. We are back in just a moment. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. Streaming live worldwide on the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, TuneIn Radio, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, iHeartRadio, the Armed Forces, American Forces Network. Big shout out to everybody at the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, most listened to wrestling radio show in the entire world. And if you love this show and you only get to hear us once a week, you are missing out. We have two more shows coming up tonight, but you can only hear them as a subscriber at WrestlingObserver.com. And in fact, we do two shows every single day, minimum. I got three today, two tomorrow. This goes on and on. And if you sign up today, it's only $10.99 a month. Great Christmas present, by the way. Not only do you get access to all of our exclusive shows, but Every show that we have ever done dating back to 2005 is available in our archives right now. That is thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio. And I know that here in 2013, 2014, a lot of people are into binge viewing on their Netflix. Well, guess what? You can binge listen at WrestlingObserver.com. We've had people who've told me, I'm listening to every Brian and Vinny show since day one. That's right. You can do that. $10.99 a month. Head up to WrestlingObserver.com. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page. A listing of our latest free radio shows. More free samples are up there for you. And if you like what you hear, what better time of year to gift yourself than Christmas? And Mike, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I woke up this morning and my local news affiliate alerted me that there is a woman somewhere here in Bothell who has been driving around and stealing packages off of people's porches.
That's just dirty.
That's terrible.
It really is.
Here in the middle of the Christmas season, come on now.
Are we going to be here next week, by the way?
As far as I know.
Okay, because we got to give, you know, New Year's wishes to everyone. And, you know, I know we have a lot of listeners from everywhere. So I was trying to actually figure out ways to say, you know, Merry Christmas and, you know, Happy Hanukkah and Happy Kwanzaa and Feliz Navidad.
That's right.
Joyeux Noël.
I got some Christmas and New Year's advice. And by the way, the phone lines right now are open. 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. We're taking phone calls, open lines. Give us a call. Anyway, I would like to alert everybody that for the Christmas and New Year's holidays, I strongly recommend avoiding alcohol.
Really?
I just want you all to think about that before you crack open that that bubbly. At least don't drink a lot of it. All right, we got a Twitter comment here. You can always follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez. We will read some of your Twitter comments here on the show. But Ellie here says, attempted to call in. Actually, Ellie, well, just try it again on Skype. Let's see if this works out here. Ellie, are you on the air?
Yeah, sorry. I don't know what was happening there.
I was about to read your tweet, but go ahead.
I was just wondering what you think of the Weidman-Silva fight. Everybody I've been talking to seems to think it's going to be like an easy knockout for Silva. And I just really think Weidman's going to go for the takedown and might even get the early submission. And I feel like everybody's selling him short.
Mike, what are your thoughts on that particular fight? I'll tell you my prediction afterwards.
I tell you, it was so funny. Talk about another big thing from 2013. Anderson Silva getting knocked out, having the clowning that he does to a lot of guys backfire on him. All the experts, you heard all these reporters, or all the fighters who kept saying, Weidman's going to win this. Weidman's going to win this. And I just, it didn't seem like anyone really could believe it, until Silva was beat, could you really believe it? And then what happened. And I got to be honest, that kind of turned me to being a really big believer in Chris Weidman. And I understand that Anderson Silva was his own worst enemy in that fight. But hey, look, Anderson Silva, that first fight with Chael, again, we didn't get to see the wrestling aspect from Weidman and the grappling aspect, but we know he can knock Silva out. We do know that for sure. And, his ground game is very, very good. Obviously, wrestling versus, Anderson Silva's jiu-jitsu, but look, I'm not saying he's his kryptonite or anything like that, but he did it once, and I was completely a believer in Weidman.
Mike, let's look at this. First off, yes, he did knock out Anderson Silva as he was dancing around like an idiot, number one. Number two, Weidman did win the first round, but you know what? He was getting beaten up in that second round. And if Silva hadn't started acting stupid, it is very possible that Silva would have finished Weidman. So,
oh, well, but here's the whole thing. He didn't. And the fact of the matter is Weidman knocked him out. And again, it's not like Weidman was in drastic trouble or anything like that, where you can just completely dismiss this. Like, okay, this was the ultimate king of all fluke type of event there. Look, there were people that believed in Weidman, heavily and believed they could beat him in that fight in a different way than when it went. So again, look, I didn't think I would never pick against Anderson Silva until somebody beat him. And look, I'm not saying that Weidman is the greatest fighter of all time or anything, but you know what? It's Silva's job now to beat Weidman, so I'll actually go with Weidman on this.
I'm not saying that this was a fluke. However, when the referee that is in the octagon can't figure out for a second if the guy really got knocked out or if he was faking it. What does that tell you right there? I think that Silva's going to go in there. He's not going to clown around. And thus, I look at it as exactly as I looked at it in the first fight, which is that I am not betting against Anderson Silva until he gets beaten in a match where he's not fooling around prior to getting knocked out. So
I agree with you on that, but with when the fighters, and I know that a little of it was gassed up for public, you know, relations purposes to try to sell the fight, but you had a lot of guys who were firmly entrenched in the camp behind Weidman saying he could beat him. I don't know. I guess with that, again, that's what makes this great. And in fact, it's probably better if Anderson Silva does win because, you know, as long as it's not a hideous fight or anything like that, UFC could use a main event rubber match for next year.
Ellie, who's winning this fight?
I really do think it's going to be Weidman, but I can definitely see an Anderson knockout. I just think that Weidman is going to be smart. I don't think he's going to play into the mind games that Anderson was playing the second round of that first fight, and I think he could even get an early submission, or at the very least, a pretty substantial decision.
Well, Ellie, I want to thank you very much for the call, and yeah, there are people that that are predicting a submission.
And Brian, let me say this too. And look, the last loss of note for Silva before this was that amazing Rio Chonin flying scissor heel hook at the Shockwave show way back when. You know, he's never been knocked out before. And I'm not saying that, you know, I don't know if he's been knocked out in training. I'm sure he has. And in his life, he has before. But I'm not saying that he's like Roy Jones or something like that, but sometimes weird things happen when a guy has been knocked out. And I'm not saying, you know, Anderson Silva is going to be a shell of what he was or anything like that. Far from it. But that's a variable, too, that you got to put into play because he has never been knocked out before. How is he going to respond?
We are live here on Sunday. The phone lines are open. 855-478-4478. Open lines. Any topic under the sun. 855-478-4478. Give us a call right now. And the other big fight, obviously, is the Miesha Tate Ronda Rousey fight. And I guess we'll get some people's predictions on that one as well. But I know personally, I expect Ronda Rousey to absolutely decimate Miesha Tate in this fight. And I know that there are some people that think that Miesha can get it done, but I'm not one of them. I think this is going to be just a one round destruction.
Yeah, I think that's Misha's biggest goal, probably like it was the first fight. Can you get this thing to the second round? If I'm Miesha Tate, I'm going to say this too. If Ronda gets that arm or gets any part of her body and starts laying the pressure on, you better tap out quickly, because if you try to be Supergirl again, I think Ronda's got every, as far as in her mind, she's got every reason in the world to just rip your arm directly off of your body.
All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Dave from Wisconsin.
Dave, what's going on? How are you listening to the show? Tune in?
I'm listening, the Tune In website.
All right, what's going on?
I guess my best and worst of the year, as far as best, I know it's pretty new as a gimmick, but Bad News Barrett is just probably the worst thing on TV right now.
It's very bad.
That's so bad, too. It's too bad it happened that way.
Now, Dave, have you seen Bad News Barrett on the JBL and Cole show?
I watch it occasionally, and I saw it a couple times, but really the only times I ever saw him was when he appears at the end, and it just throws hashtag Bad News Barrett on the screen, and that's it.
So in your opinion, it's not much better on the JBL and Cole show.
I can't say I'm a religious watcher of it.
All right.
I've seen it just a few times, so I don't know. Like, there is a gap between, like, show 5 and show 85 or whatever it's been. So,
well,
I don't really know.
I can tell everybody listening to this live right now, as a teaser for tonight, the Brian and Vinny show, I am going to force Vinny to watch the JBL and Cole show tonight. You're going to get a review.
Okay, sounds great. As far as my my best of the year, I have to say that the antics of the Bullet Club over in New Japan are probably the most entertaining thing I've seen.
Mike, I know you are probably high on the Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to buck against that. And another thing that the Bullet Club did this year, too, which was, again, new for Japanese wrestling, at least in the way it was portrayed so much of, outside interference. You know, it's one thing that was one of the last things you haven't seen in New Japan was been the level of American style outside interference and chicanery that can take place in a match. And Fergal Devitt from Ireland, Carl Anderson from the United States, and the group that they have, they did a lot of that. And it was, again, very interesting. It got old for people very fast, for some people at least very fast. And New Japan obviously realized this, and they haven't been pushing Devitt or the faction in the exact same way. But with that said, it really, for the time that it was really being used throughout the G1 and throughout the beginning of the year, it was incredibly, incredibly effective. And they made, you know, star gaijin, which they had not had for quite some time. And it just really also established Fergal Devitt and Carl Anderson both as legitimate stars who could, I'm not saying walk in right into WWE, but their stock as far as the eyes of the world upon them, you know, went up immensely this year because they did a hell of a job carrying the load that they were given.
If they want to bring in Prince Devitt, I demand the entire Bullet Club comes in. I want Bad Luck Fale in as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Put him, Tama Tonga, you know, obviously Carl Anderson would be, look, if nothing else, the old line about being a good hand, he could be one hell of a hand in WWE if they chose to do that. And Fergal Devitt, again, you know, you put him in with a lot of the guys on that roster. And I'm even, you know, forget about just junior heavyweights, larger size guys, too. And he can work with all of them.
Anything else on your mind, Dave?
I've just got Rousey over Tate round one armbar. No big surprise there. Tate's undeserving.
What about Silva Weidman?
Silva Weidman, that's too tough for me to call. I can't even
make a pick. Come on now.
Okay, I'll take Silva. I'll take Silva.
All right. Peer pressure right there, Dave. Thanks so much for calling in. I got him.
You're just gonna bait people into this.
Yeah. I wanna hear what you've got to say about this fight. Who's gonna win? Don't tell me it's too tough to call. It's your job to make a prediction.
Oh, by the way, let me just say Nola Konowitz, I think I'm saying this correctly, that's Irish for Merry Christmas for all of our listeners in Ireland and the UK.
I see.
Well, I guess the UK wouldn't care about that, but the Irish would.
Punch Rocker here on Twitter. Worst of 2013, traveling from the UK to WrestleMania and not being able to see the show.
That
poor from
it.
WWE. Not had a penny from me since. Wow. Punch Rocker, if you're...
seating?
If he's listening, I'd like to either call in or tweet me and tell me how you didn't get to see WWE. What went wrong? I need to hear about this. All right, we're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Tune in radio website, tune in radio app, iHeart, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, list goes on and on. Now, Mike, before we go to our top of the hour break right here, Total Divas last week, did you get a chance to see the season finale?
I didn't. I'm very upset with myself.
Oh, my God, Mike.
It's DVRing and ready to go.
It's a week ago.
Well, that's okay. I mean, look, to be honest, unlike you, this is not exactly, you know, that
must
important
TV.
Of programming where I can't wait a little bit.
Come on now. This was a season finale. Some people called this, everybody, the best episode ever of the show.
Ever?
I don't know if I would go that far because I am particularly fond of Arion, and she was not nearly on this show enough. I still think, oh man, what was it? There was one episode with her and Vinny. They were all over the show, and that was the best show ever to me. But it was a pretty good show, and they had a cliffhanger. Are John Cena and Nikki Bella done? We're going to have to wait till season two to find out. This was actually season 1B. I know that a lot of people thought this was season two. It was actually an extension of the first. The second season, I believe, is going to be starting right around the time of WrestleMania. And WWE is going to be shopping Total Divas around as part of their new rights fees package. And so we can talk about that a little bit after the break as well. The top of the hour break, everybody, is going to be about 6 minutes. When we come back, we'll have a quick segment, and then the phone lines will open up again. You can always send me tweets at Brian Alvarez, And we'll get some of those as well. So it should be a good time. So stick around, everybody. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here for another hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Series Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. In the next segment, the phone lines will open up again, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Don't touch that phone yet, however. We got a few minutes. Skype line, F4W Online. We'll be taking Skype calls as well. And on the Twitter machine here, Punch Rocker, who in the last segment noted that he flew all the way from the United Kingdom and missed WrestleMania. And I wanted to know, how did you manage to miss WrestleMania? Well, he says here, I missed Mania, although I got in the stadium. I sat behind the stadium-sized pillars and could see none of the ring. WWE must have known. That's right. If you saw WrestleMania last year, I think they were palm trees. Might have been a couple of years earlier there were palm trees. But they had these giant pillars. And I, in fact, believe it or not, was also behind a palm tree or whatever it was. And I watched most of the show on the big screens. But I do know that there were a lot of people that complained to WWE and they ended up, you know, obviously WWE couldn't give them a new WrestleMania live experience, but they did get tickets to upcoming events in their area. So if something like that does happen to you, you probably should complain to WWE because they will attempt to make things right to the best of their ability. I don't know why they sell the tickets when they know that they've got to put those pillars up there. I guess probably they sell tickets so far in advance that they don't know what the physical setup is probably going to be. But still, I know I got a lot of complaints about that. And as noted, I had a sight line that was obstructed. So back in just a moment, everybody, we'll take your phone calls. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn Radio app on your smartphone, the iHeartRadio website or app. TuneIn website as well, as where a lot of people are streaming today. The American Forces Network, the cable radio network, and Mike Sempervivi, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, doesn't necessarily have numbers, but what is the name of the channel in which you can hear us every week?
It's the Sirius XM Sports Zone channel, which and I don't believe it matters if you have Sirius All Access or anything like that. It's a part of just the basic sports lineup that's got ESPN and Mad Dog Sports Radio and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, it's actually on right now if anybody wants to check it out, either on the computer or on their app or the app for the phone.
There you go. Sports Zone. We are live here Sunday. We are taking your phone calls toll free, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Phone lines are empty right now, so give us a call. Also, if you are listening and you'd like to contact us via Skype, F4W Online is the handle. And if you forget any of this, all of it is available up at WrestlingObserver.com. We are taking your Twitter comments as well to @BrianAlvarez. So obviously, no shortage of ways to contact the show. Open lines, anything on your mind, pro wrestling, mixed martial arts. We've been talking the best and worst of 2013. We've been doing predictions for the Anderson Silva, Chris Weidman, and Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate fight. And by the way, if you're one of those people listening right now that believes that Misha Tate is going to beat Ronda Rousey, I want to hear from you. I want a fight breakdown on how you think this is going to happen. We've got a Twitter comment here. Best of the year, Jay Briscoe's his personalized championship belt. And the worst of the year is WWE's use of fan polling. And by the way, on the Todd Martin show at WrestlingObserver.com a couple of days ago, we had a big discussion about Todd's absolute hatred for the term WWE Universe. He passionately hates it, and we kind of had an argument. I mean, I can't argue that it sucks, but I'm not one of those people that thinks, my God, advertisers aren't buying advertising because of this term. Fans are quitting the sport outright because of this term. I never said the term didn't suck. I never said that they don't use the term too much. But is it something that is damaging their business? Of course not. Unless you disagree, Mike.
No, actually, I don't think it's damaging the business at all. And, you know, a lot of sports leagues and things like that, they have, if you're a fan of a show, you know, they'll attach some sort of name to you on, you know, Sports Nation or, you know, Raider Nation or something like that. And it is incredibly annoying. They beat it to death. I don't think it hurts their business at all, but it does. Again, it's like a lot of things that they do. They beat it to death, and there's a level of being very disingenuous about doing it. You know, obviously there's things like Raider Nation and Steeler Nation and all that sort of stuff, or gimmick names for, you know, followers of a team. But they seem to always come organically, or at least for the most part, they tend to start organically. Whereas WWE, it just, you know, when things aren't going well, when they beat something over the head like they are with the universe or the app or whatever it is, it just makes things seem far worse.
You know what I think really bothers people? Because I know this is what bothers me the most. I don't care if they refer to themselves as the WWE Universe or they say that the fans are part of the WWE Universe. It doesn't bother me at all. But when the universe becomes a catch-all term in interviews, like, who was it? Somebody on television earlier this month said something like, the universe is mad at JBL or something like that. I can't remember what the terminology was, but it was like the universe, like, you know, the solar system and all the planets. And it just sounds ridiculous. The universe is angry. Zeb Coulter, I think it was.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And, you know, from their point of view, how they'll sell it is, well, we're involving the people into, you know, all as one big group into the show, where, you know, the reality is it's just, you know, you're pushing that buzzword and it's just, it tends to just be really, really annoying.
All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Chris from Nacogdoches, Texas.
Chris, what's up? Hey, listening to the show.
The TuneIn app, I believe.
Sweet. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Just calling. I think I heard somebody already mention Jay Briscoe and his new belt.
That's right. You like the belt?
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I like the belt, but I also say that's the, I think, best of 2013 for me is Jay Briscoe from the time he won the title at WrestleMania weekend up until, you know, he was stripped of the belt. But all those promos he cut, all the YouTube videos, he's just one of the best promos, I think, going today. And I know he didn't, you know, they didn't go to WWE. There was that controversy with his comments on Twitter, which is odd considering the Phil Robertson comments this week kind of mirrored that in a way. But, yeah, I think he's the best. And that's, to me, is the best thing. And the worst thing.
Actually, before you get into the worst, let me just ask you this question. Did you happen to be at that WrestleMania show, or did you watch it on iPay-per-view?
I wasn't at it. I watched it later on.
Okay, so you saw, like, the video on demand.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I was there for the show, and that was one of the coolest live moments. I mean, outside of like a WrestleMania or like a big WWE event, I mean, that was one of the coolest moments ever when Jay Briscoe won that title. And I remember that it happened, and everybody that was watching live on iPay-per-view, it died. Like, right before he won the title, and I just felt so bad for those people. But if you got to see it on video on demand, then you lucked out.
Yeah, it was great. It was really emotional, too. You know, it's hard to, in pro wrestling these days, it's hard to get, you know, real emotion into it, especially, you know, WWE with it, like, scripted, and maybe even TNA, you could put that in there. But, you know, it's really hard to bring real emotion into it like that. And he had his family there, and everybody got in the ring, you know, and not to take anything away from Chicken either. You know, he's one of my favorites, too. But really, the Briscoes kind of pulled me into Ring of Honor. I got away from watching it for a while, and just their run this whole year has pulled me in, and I'm pretty much a loyal viewer to the show. I wish they were on the show a little more, but, you know, they can't just be on the show all the time. I understand that. But really, that's the best thing, I think, 2013, most underrated at least, is Jay Briscoe and his promos. I mean, they're just really, you know, you can see his passion he has for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if that would work in WWE. I'm sure, you know, they would probably script his promos and all that. So I'm kind of glad he didn't go because, you know, it would have deprived all of us that whole run this summer when he was stripped of the belt and they cut all those crazy promos and then brought his own belt back now. And I'm anxious to see where that's going to go eventually.
And the worst moment?
The worst for me, I think, which maybe a lot of people too, is it's just Daniel Bryan. You know, I bought SummerSlam. I streamed it. I didn't have TV at the time, so I streamed it online and bought SummerSlam. And I wasn't necessarily disappointed with the SummerSlam. I understand we're going somewhere with the whole Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan thing. But then all those months later, you know, it soured me on buying any more pay-per-views until, you know, I'm going to WrestleMania this year. But maybe not even, you know, I won't buy anything else like that. And just because it's kind of soured me because I don't think they're living up to what they're delivering. You know, they built it up this whole time for Daniel Bryan, and he still hasn't, you know,
He hasn't got his comeuppance yet.
Yes, comeuppance, yes. He hasn't got his comeuppance, and it's just a shame, really. You know, I think they really had something there, and I think they lost it, you know, to a certain extent. You know, I don't know if, you know, he was, you know, the next John Cena or anything, but I think he could have been more entertaining than, you know, Randy Orton. And I'm not a Randy Orton basher. You know, he's all right. He doesn't really do anything for me. You know, he's really good in the ring, but it's just so boring. You know, everybody comes out and cuts the promos, and then you get Triple H, everybody coming out cutting promos, and it's just, I don't know, it's kind of ruined the experience for me.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. We got to head to a break, but you are far from the only person who has made the same comment about Randy Orton. Nothing against the guy, you know, he's good, but he bores me. And so we can talk more about that after the break. If you're on the line, be ready to call after this commercial. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are taking your calls, 855-478-4478. That is 855-478-4478. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, as well as on Skype. F4W Online is the handle. All of these numbers and such up at WrestlingObserver.com. We have a caller here on the line. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, it's New Jersey Sammy. I'm from Jersey, listening on TuneIn Radio app.
What's up, Sammy?
New Jersey Sammy.
Yeah, what's up?
I haven't been listening. We just went shopping, just got in the car. Don't worry, I'm listening safely. And I noticed you were talking about best and worst of 2013.
That's right.
And I would say for me, myself personally as a wrestling fan, the worst of 2013 was WrestleMania Live, and the best of 2013 was Raw the next night.
The worst was WrestleMania Live. Were you behind a tree?
No. But I think I spent more money on WrestleMania tickets than I did on Raw tickets. And compared to Raw the next night live, WrestleMania was well beyond mediocre.
Now,
it was disappointing.
Now, you didn't enjoy the Undertaker CM Punk match? Because I thought that match was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was great. Of course, I did enjoy that. But I don't come to a 4.5-5-hour show to see one match and the rest is kind of like, eh. And then somehow the quote-unquote legit voting of the Slammy Awards says that John Cena versus The Rock is better. I call shenanigans on that one, just like you call shenanigans on Stephanie. But Raw was memorable. I was going to ask you, I know you're going to WrestleMania this year. Did you already get your Raw tickets? Because from what I understand, they sold out very quickly.
They sold out quicker than I could get them. The good news is I think I'm going to be able to get in, but I don't know for sure. But I'm going to find out closer to the show. But I've got my fingers crossed because that has now become the second biggest show of the year behind WrestleMania. It's the biggest Raw of the entire year now.
Yeah, like I said on a previous show, I was thinking about going to New Orleans with my girlfriend and friends and just going to Raw and not going to WrestleMania. But if I go, probably just going to go to both. I think there's still a lot of WrestleMania tickets available, so it's probably worth it.
Oh, there's plenty. So,
That's it. Have a good holiday, everybody.
All right. I want to thank you very much for the call. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Matt from Pittsburgh.
Matt, what's up?
What's going on, Brian?
Not too much. What's on your mind?
I recently watched the AWA DVD again, and what did they do when they ran New York? Where did they run, and what were the results?
Mike.
Yes.
AWA New York.
The joint shows, the big shows that they did as part of the Pro Wrestling USA thing they did at the Meadowlands. I know in early, I think it was 1984. Early 85 when they went to New York and actually did a little bit of a tour. They did do they did a high school. If I'm not mistaken, they did the Nassau Coliseum. But the Meadowlands was really the big show that they did.
Did it bomb?
How did it do?
Oh God, if I recall correctly, I mean, it wasn't awful. I want to say maybe it was 20,000 for the first one, but they never did really well after that. Baltimore was a better city, a lot smaller building, obviously, too, to run in. But they, to be honest, I'll look it up while the show goes on and find out the exact numbers for you. But it certainly was not, you know, setting the world on fire or anything like that. And that was bringing in names like Stan Hansen to face Rick Martel, who WWF fans would know for breaking Bruno's neck. And obviously they were relying on Zbyszko and Slaughter and Jerry Lawler for being on the Letterman show. And none of that really ever worked out at all. The Road Warriors got noticed. But outside of that, there wasn't a whole lot that went well for them there.
Cool, good info. Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, thanks so much. I'll have Mike look that up as we take this next call. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Michael from San Francisco.
Michael, what's up?
Hey, so I kind of have a weird question for you guys. So, hey, by the way, hi, Mike.
Mike's here somewhere. Hello? He's looking up AWA results.
I am, but okay, you know cool. What? It's nice to be mentioned. Thank you.
Awesome. So my question is, okay, say for a second I'm Santa Claus. I'm not Santa Claus, but say for a second I am, and I give both of you
wait,
guys...
Wait. Hold on. Did you say you were Nick from San Francisco?
No, Michael.
Oh, Michael. Dang it. Yeah. Okay, go on.
Sorry about that. So say for a second, you know, I'm Santa Claus, and I know I was listening to the After Dark radio show where you were talking about Christmas miracles. So My question is, what if I were to give both of you guys a Christmas miracle for both pro wrestling and mixed martial arts? And if I were to give you a Christmas miracle, what would you choose?
So we're allowed to choose any Christmas miracle for pro wrestling and mixed martial arts?
That is correct.
All right. My Christmas miracle is that pro wrestling and mixed martial arts explodes in popularity into the mainstream, which would then help this radio show. And my business in general. That's my Christmas wish. And that nobody ever gets hurt again. Mike, what's your Christmas wish?
I won't even worry about anyone getting hurt and actually going with the first one that you had, because that benefits me greatly as well. And I guess for just a very simple one, an explosion that Santa brings both UFC and WWE, as well as the entire industry on both sides, lots and lots and lots of stars. Because if you give me lots of stars that are all of a sudden created, there's a whole lot of great fights and great wrestling matches and entertaining things that are drawing more people in than just us diehards.
Now, Michael, can you make that happen?
I will do my best. I don't know if I can make stars happen, especially in the WWE, thanks to a man named Vince McMahon, who is a little bit, careful about who he chooses to be top stars. But I do hope, as well as you guys, that popularity does increase, because as a fan, I want to enjoy the product and I want to listen to you guys talk about it in the ongoing years.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call, Michael. I can tell you that you will be listening to this, us talk about this in the upcoming years, because the one good thing about pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and really anything, is that there is such a thing as history. So even if UFC and WWE collapsed, I mean, there's so much historical stuff to talk about and memories that I think we could go on for quite a while. But I don't see WWE and UFC going out of business anytime soon. And in fact, Mike, as you feverishly type right there. Sorry. and send those clicks out throughout the entire WWE universe. What are you expecting in terms of WWE rights fees with their new deal they're trying to sign? Are they really going to double their rights fees? Which, by the way, a correction, if you listen to the Thursday Todd Martin show, they would not need $400 million a year to double it. Their domestic television rights fees numbers are about $103 to $108 million. So to double their domestic rights fees, they only need to go up to $200 million. Can they do this, Mike?
I'd be really surprised if they could.
NASCAR's $800 million. You don't think WWE can make $200 million?
I don't think so. There were a lot of people that just went, Jesus, look at the amount of money that was spent on NASCAR. The people that didn't believe it, but you're... No, I really don't think so. And I know we're going to be bumping up against break here. Or are we bumping up against break? Because I just don't, to me, it's, I'm not saying it's inconceivable, but it would really, really surprise me a lot because I think they may be, they're throwing it out there and I don't blame them. They got a great Variety article, but personally, I think there are some people that are going to overvalue them, but I just don't think that they're going to have the suitors and the value that they believe that they could. Now, obviously, they have to try to put their best foot forward. But to me, NBC Universal is so safe for them. And with Bonnie Hammer, with all of the synergy and the options that are available there, even if they were able to get some insane amount of money, but they have to move to a Fox or something like that, I don't think long term that's the best bet. And I just don't think they're going to get 200. I could possibly see some of the reasons why they could, because it is first run programming, so many hours of it for 52 weeks a year. And you have, lots of different things that can come with it, which is cheap programming that is, WWE's on the hook for some of it, like Total Divas and all that sort of stuff. But for that much, I would be really, really surprised. But if they get, God bless them if they get it. I just don't think it's going to be that great. And I just think that their best spot is NBC Universal. And I can't be the only one who believes that. And again, I don't know if I just can't believe Fox is going to say, here's $250 or $300 million. It's just insane to me.
Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, this is Daniel from Greensboro, North Carolina. How are you guys?
What's up, Daniel?
I just want to say, Mike, I love your Adam's show on Japanese wrestling. I've learned more in the 2 years I've listened to that than anything else.
That's right. The Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare. Big fan.
Hey, I really appreciate that. And, again, it was a great year. A lot of people who are laymen who may get the Observer for Christmas or something like that. And in January, you're going to get the best of 2013 with all the reader awards. And you're probably going to see a lot of New Japan there, and just be ready for it.
I do have a best and worst and a question real quick. Best is Daniel Bryan getting a shot at the main event status, whether how it's turned out is hindsight, how it is, but I was glad to see them actually give him a shot. And the worst is just that four strings of pay-per-view with horrible finishes. But my question is, what do you guys see them doing with the Elimination Chamber? I'm assuming they could put the champion in the Elimination Chamber, but it takes some steam off the Rumble winner because it's almost like they should build from there. But I didn't know what you guys thought they were going to do with the Chamber.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. You're going to have to listen off the air. We're actually going to head to a break. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what they're going to do at the WWE Elimination Chamber. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can check us out on the TuneIn website, the TuneIn Radio app, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, iHeart.com, the iHeartRadio Talk Portal, the iHeart app, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network. I think I'm probably missing a few. But you can also check us out on Monday mornings, Sports Byline USA, 7 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern. If you missed the show, you can check it out there. The replay is also available Monday on the Sports Byline website as well as immediately following the show, actually about an hour later, up at WrestlingObserver.com. And of course, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you know where to go, WrestlingObserver.com. It is our website. If you love this show, if you love Wrestling Observer Live and you only get to hear it once per week, you are missing out. I'm doing two more shows tonight, Sunday night. I've got a Brian and Vinny show, and I've got a Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. And then tomorrow, two more shows. Tuesday, two more shows. We do at least two shows every single day, only for subscribers. It's $10.99 a month. That's it, $10.99 a month. And for that price, not only to get all the brand new exclusive audio shows, but every show we have ever done dating back to 2005, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of audio. It's all available at WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there, scroll down the right-hand side of the page, and there is a listing of our latest free radio shows. Check those out, and if you like what you hear, sign up. It's a great Christmas present for yourself or a loved one. Again, $10.99 a month, WrestlingObserver.com. Join the fun. It's a good time. All right, we're going to take one more phone call here. Then I got a lot to get into, including Elimination Chamber and more. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's Patrick from Rochester, New York.
Patrick, what's up?
Not bad. Hey, for the, I'll focus only on the best stuff. I'll try not to focus on the worst. It's been a great year in wrestling for New Japan Pro. If anybody out there who hasn't caught it, can't go wrong with that. In Young Guns in the WWE, even if I don't really like some of the booking as far as they go with the Wyatts, and especially Luke Harper. He's just been absolutely phenomenal since they brought him up. And the Shield as well.
There's a lot of good guys. There's a lot of good guys, and more to come. And you are okay with the booking just because you get a chance to see a lot of these new guys.
Yeah, I'm glad that they're getting a chance to showcase, especially now. I mean, with if Ricochet and Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, and if you are coming into NXT, if they get the opportunity maybe the next year or two to come up, 2015 could be a great year. But there's a lot of other guys, especially like it's PWG All-Star Weekend. If they get picked up like a Johnny Gargano or Adam Cole or anybody like that, I mean, 2015 and I could be a really great time in the WWE, maybe even a renaissance if the guys are protected, right? But like I said, I want to stay positive.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. And on the topic of being positive, PWG ran a show this weekend, and I know that several WWE front office workers were at the show and apparently having a great time. So whenever something like that happens, you never know who might get a call in the coming weeks. Now, Mike, I know you have been busy researching the numbers for the AWA in New York. What have you discovered?
I've discovered again how much I like the history of WWE.com website. The Graham Coffin is the proprietor for, which is just incredibly awesome. But February of 1985, they reportedly drew 18,600. In August of 85, 7,000. And in December of 85, that's the where Stan Hansen defeated Rick Martel with the Brazos Valley Backbreaker. That they say they're claiming 12,000 on that one as far as what was drawn there. I wonder how much of that is actually true, how much was papered and the whole nine yards there, but that's at least what they claim. They also ran Trenton, New Jersey, as well as I believe a couple of rec centers and a high school in Queens as well, too, when they would do the shows there. The old Pro Wrestling USA shows, which was on WPIX in New York on Channel 11, a time slot that later, I believe, went to the AWA when they kind of just basically Georgia dropped out, Crockett dropped out of promoting with them, Memphis dropped out of promoting with them, and they held on to that. And then I believe that's the one that WCW ultimately took over for WCW New York.
All right, we had a caller asking about the Elimination Chamber, and boy, do I have something to say about this. I don't like the idea of the Elimination Chamber. We're down to one championship now, one main WWE title. And to me, when you're doing the road to WrestleMania, you want a three-month build. And I think that at the Royal Rumble, you should know who the champion is and who the challenger is. And there shouldn't be a fork in the road at the Elimination Chamber. I don't like the idea of, let's say that, just throw out a name, Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble and Randy Orton is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. I don't like the idea that, well, maybe that's the WrestleMania main event, but maybe not because Randy Orton's going to be defending the title in the Elimination Chamber. I don't like that. I think that it takes away a month of build for a match, a month of excitement. Not to mention, if you put Daniel Bryan in the chamber, and he's got to put his Royal Rumble win up for grabs, just to value his Royal Rumble. To me, in a perfect world, you have the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, and you unify the Intercontinental and the United States Champion, and you put it on a big name. I don't know who that would be. I'm not going to say John Cena because I can't see them doing that, but a fairly big name. And you try to make that your new number two title. In fact, put it on John Cena, for crying out loud. Make everybody know right out of the gate that this title is a big deal. And you no longer have the Intercontinental and the U.S., which nobody cares at all about. You'd have one main champion and one Intercontinental champion, just like in the old days. And then, if you want to have the Royal Rumble for a title shot at the WWE World Heavyweight title, and then you have the Elimination Chamber winner getting a shot at the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania, great. Works out fine for me. But the idea that you're going to throw a monkey wrench into the plans after Royal Rumble with Elimination Chamber, I don't like that.
I agree with you in that if you have what you should have is a great 2 to 3 month build towards WrestleMania, for the title. I think you should have that, you know, and I think also, again, the Money in the Bank is a pay-per-view concept I hate. TLC is a pay-per-view concept I hate. Now, Money in the Bank should be on WrestleMania every year, but as a pay-per-view concept, never liked it at all. You can move Elimination Chamber to another point in the year because, I mean, it is a cool-looking sell. I'm sure it sells tons of toys and things like that, and I know people don't like to hear about that, but it's, you know, it plays a factor. You can move it to another point in the year, but I will play devil's advocate to that and say, you know, it does give them some wiggle room after Royal Rumble, even though that's an insane thing to say because you should have your booking for WrestleMania, your biggest show of the year. You should know exactly what you have going into that, but they do lose some wiggle room there. And also, if you wanted to keep it great, because if you have a situation where you have a lot of stars all popping at once and you can use that to, you know, maybe one day, that's not a bad idea. If you want to use it in the way, like you said, have it, you know, somebody face off for the Intercontinental title, that's fine. If you have two tag teams and you bring in two other guys who are feuding with each other and you put them in there somehow, you know, and then again, there's a lot of different things you could do to it, but I'm definitely in your camp as far as your champion should be. That match for the WWE Championship should be a 2 to 3 months month build based around those two guys and the title belt and nothing else. And you don't need that.
All right, we've got a lot of Twitter comments here, so I want to jump into these while we have time. This person here says the best of wrestling this year was G1 Day 4 at Osaka. The worst is the entire Authority angle, bad rehash of late 90s Corporation. I thought the G1 Day 4 was awesome. I suppose you're unlikely to disagree. Is that correct?
Yeah.
What was better than G1 Day 4? Anything this year?
Yeah, I mean, I get, you could say Tokyo Dome on January 4th.
Really? Was better than the G1 Day 4?
The reason I would say that, or the reason why I think somebody could say that, is because you can throw in that Prince Devitt low-key Kota Ibushi match, and I'm not big on low-key and Ibushi styles for the most part, and I'm not big on three-ways. But that thing was played so well. Like, if you were going to have a three-way and write the, you know, have the textbook, definition of this is what I want out of a three-way match for a title, I mean, that's what it would be. You could say the same thing about Tanahashi and Okada. You can say the same thing about Nagata and Suzuki or Nakamura and Sakuraba. For what those matches were, they were actually perfect. Like, you would say, okay, you know, again, on the short list of give me an example of this match, you could throw those out there, you know, so no matter what the match was, that's why I think that show was, you know, so incredibly great. But if you want to say the G1 Day 4 was the best thing, I can't argue with you. That's how good those shows were.
Fight Ghost here says Silva by knockout, but I'm not sure. Rousey via absolutely vicious, one-sided annihilation. I agree with Brian. She will, I'll edit this. She will pee on Tate. That's what we said. That's what we said right there. Gregor, worst moment of the year. Titus O'Neil being sick. Embarrassing moment to be a fan. I'll say. Champ Julius here. Best of the year. Okada Tanahashi, all four of them. Worst of the year, Battleground, the entire show. That is a fact.
Absolutely.
Battleground was a bad show. Daniel here, is there a price difference between showing Raw live on TV and showing Raw on delay? You mean live versus taped? Yeah, there's a massive difference. It's significantly more expensive to go live than to tape the shows and air them. So I'm not sure if that is in regards to rights fees or something, but yeah, it's much more expensive for any show to air live than on tape, except this show. It costs exactly the same. This person says, who will have more success on their streaming network, UFC or WWE? That's an interesting question. What do you think, Mike?
As it stands right now, UFC. I mean, if I recall correctly, I heard UFC is going with New Lion, and I have a New Lion plugin because it was the NHL their on ice package or internet package. I've used it for a couple other things as well that I've streamed. I've used it and it's been absolutely fabulous and fantastic. I mean, as far as the high def and all that stuff goes, and I believe the UFC is also using them for their pay-per-views already, which I think I've talked about on the show before, is fantastic. The only problem I have is when I have four different camera angles up, sometimes they're a little out of sequence. You know, it might be a half a second off. That's my only complaint at all. I have had nothing but success with UFC. And because of that reason, again, this is not saying that WWE is going to fall on their face or anything like that. I just, for what I've already seen from the UFC, and if they are going to go with New Line the same way they're doing their other stuff, I already know it works. So until I have a bad, you know, situation with it, I'm going to go with the UFC on this one.
And by the way, that'll be debuting. They'll have the announcement of the UFC online streaming network sometime within the next week, and the price will be $9.99, which to me suggests that WWE also is probably going at $9.99. But I don't know for sure. We'll find out more about WWE in early January at a press conference in Las Vegas. And I believe that is the final Twitter question of the evening. So we got all of them, everybody. I am on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. I see why. Daniel here asked about the price difference because he says here in Australia, we don't see Raw live. We get it Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, you're going to get a tape one way or the other. But as far as, I mean, it makes no difference them sending the tape to you. But when they go live, the costs of running the show live are more expensive. It's not the broadcasting cost. It's the cost of actually running the show live and the satellite uplink and everything like that. Got to head to a break. Back in just a moment. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Final segment here on the show every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide all over the internet, WrestlingObserver.com, the TuneIn Radio website, the iHeart website, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, and Mike, this coming Saturday on the NBC Network, it's not Wrestling Observer Live, but it is WWE Tribute to the Troops, the infamous show where AJ and Michelle Beadle had their hullabaloo. Did I get it right?
Hullabaloo. Yes, indeed. You've come a long way this year.
I've come a long way from the top 50 moments of Figure Four Audio in the last year. Are you excited for Tribute to the Troops?
No, and nothing against. I mean, I think it's a great thing that they do. They just do it in the United States now. I know they did it at Lewis McCord base in Washington, and Daughtry was there. Jeff Dunham, the puppet guy, was there too. Michelle Beadle, obviously hosting. Sure, there will be no footage of AJ yelling at her or anything like that. But, you know, it's a superfluous show to me. I don't need to watch it. It's not like I go out of my way not to see it. If I happen to be around and get a chance, maybe I will. But I'm not probably going to miss the UFC undercard for it. So it's a nice thing that they do, though. They do a lot with the military, and that's kind of a cool thing. And again, at this time of year, with so much fluff programming on and all the Christmas movies and all that sort of stuff, you know, why not? It's good public relations for them, and it's just easy, cheap programming for NBC to have on a Saturday night.
All right, we are out of time, everybody. Head to WrestlingObserver.com and sign up. We got two more shows tonight exclusively for subscribers. And if not, have a wonderful holiday season. We're going to be back next week with a brand new show. I want to thank our awesome producer, Paul. Obviously, everybody at Sports Byline USA. Mike Sempervivi, as always. We'll talk to you all later on tonight. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.